Good morning. Today is Columbus Day, 2021. Joining us this morning,
right on,
Mr. Hartley from the County Office of Ed.
Good morning. Good morning.
I guess that's what we can say, huh?
Absolutely.
All right. So we'll ask a question, then we'll ask a couple follow-up questions.
All right.
Unrelated.
What's the everyone knows that question for the day?
Yeah. See, some of this stuff you think you're going to miss, huh? Okay.
Just have to look for a second copy of that book.
Yeah, read along at home. All right. Why are cats attracted to catnip?
Oh my goodness gracious! Well, catnip is a plant, and it probably has a smell that they're attracted to. That's going to be my. I'm going to lock that answer in, Brian.
All right.
They like the smell.
Catnip contains a substance called nepetalactone. Nepetalactone. It comes from the small glands of the leaves of the plant of the mint family.
Okay.
Called catnip. It's believed that when this is inhaled by cats, it alters their brain functioning and arouses sexual feelings. Okay, great, in a cat. Okay.
Okay.
As would a hormone. This causes cats to act playful and exhibit mating-type behavior. So cats are attracted to catnip for the same reason they're attracted to cats of the opposite sex.
Smell. So I had it right.
Yeah, in a roundabout way. You know, there's one right here. I got to ask you, man, because this is probably the
bring
last
in another
rodeo
one. Oh, we're
going to
do two today.
Yes.
All right.
Why are most pencils hexagon in shape?
So you can grip them. Oh, so they don't roll off your desk.
Okay. Now, those are two different responses. Which one are you going to go with?
Winston, A or B? Winston's calling. He's taking the fifth. All right, I'll go with B.
Okay.
Because they don't roll off your desk.
Square pencils would be easy to manufacture, but not very comfortable to hold.
Okay.
So round pencils are comfortable to hold, but are costly to the manufacturer. Hexagonal pencils are a compromise. They're about as comfortable as a round pencil, yet less costly to make. Okay. 9 hexagonal pencils can be produced from the same amount of wood it would take to make 8 round ones. And the hexagonal pencils require one less processing step. Hence the prevalence of hexagonal pencils.
So I was wrong.
Okay. No, I'll give you partial on this one. In fact, sales now indicate that the hexagonal shape is preferred 11 to 1 over round, perhaps because the hexagonal pencil is less likely
to roll off your desk
or drawing table. Yep.
Boom.
There you go.
Nice. All right.
So what's new?
Not bad.
Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Yeah. There's a lot.
I'm sure
of
you've been asked
on
a little bit over the weekend.
Yeah, it's
as
been
well
a,
as the tail end of last
yeah,
week
sure.
and the middle of last week. So,
it's formally announced that I'll be stepping down as the county superintendent of schools, and I've accepted a position with the state agency. It's kind of a branch off of CDE, and it's called California Collaborative for Educational Excellence. And I'll be really
collaborative.
Collaborative for Educational Excellence.
That's going to be
That's
on
right.
your letterhead.
It's a lot of words.
Yeah, and it's one of the magic words for me.
Well, you're a touchy-feely kind of guy. You like collaboration.
How about partnering?
Maybe I'll have an opportunity to tweak that.
There you go. Okay.
But, it's an opportunity that, you know, how that kind of happens for folks in life, right? It's not something you were pursuing, but I have an interest to advocate and represent the context of rural communities at the state level, and I've been involved in some different partnerships and networking in that way, and they basically, we came to an agreement that this would be, a logical step to join this team, and I'm real excited about it.
So did they create the position for you, or did somebody fall off the wagon?
No, this is a new position. So the way this organization was created, it's an arm from the California Department of Education and focused on providing support to schools and districts throughout the state that are showing that they're underperforming, or they're showing that they have some gaps in their assessments and, basically need to hone in on some of their instructional practices for improvement. And so
you show up as the Grim Reaper,
nah.
And then you ride off in the white hat on the white horse when you're done.
Well, hopefully you get a good partnership, yeah. But I think that's the model is there was a shift under Governor Brown. Schools used to be, if you were considered underperforming by the state's metrics, you were considered program improvement. And it was very, very punitive.
The onerous is what I was thinking.
Yeah, it was rough, right? In fact, I can remember as serving as the principal for McKinnville High School, and we fell into that category 1 year. And we actually had to send letters out to families saying, we are terrible, basically. And, you know, you could take your children somewhere else if you'd like. You had to send these horrible communications. So it was not uplifting, let's put it that way. And then there was this massive
shift. But if you want your kid to have a real crappy education, keep them here.
It kind of was. It was horrible, right? It was just very defeating. Unfortunately, we were able to get out of that situation pretty quickly. But not very authenticity, you know, around supporting you for the growth that you really need to do. So they made a shift to what's called the California System of Support. And that's the current model that we have. And that'll be working with a team to continue to work on that structure and deliver support and services to schools and districts throughout the state.
So looking at a statewide picture, I would suspect that you probably have a pretty good sense of what areas are going to be on the initial punch list.
Absolutely.
So to speak. Is there any commonality other than the fact that Metropolitan is not after their name?
Commonality with, like...
Are they all rural? Do they all have huge... ethnic compositions? Is the household income below a certain strata level? Are they all on highways?
I mean, yeah,
anything right. That can kind of at least give you some commonality?
No, not. I mean, it's very diverse, right? So schools that would fall under structured support for this, there isn't like a centralized theme of, you know, data that I can necessarily point to at this moment, but. The commonality is that we have agencies trying to provide support for schools and districts throughout the state that aren't necessarily fully collaborative or coordinated yet. I wanted to use your word. I'm going to use that word as many times as I can today.
I could appreciate that.
But there's a lot of individual efforts trying to support and help schools, but they're not connected. And so to me, that'll be one of the first things that I'm going to
communicate. Basic communication between the various entities trying to make
Who's doing what,
impact?
Right? Who's doing what? How can we work?
Wouldn't you
think
that there would be a common point, and then everything kind of ran through at least for communication purposes?
Well, I think that's going to be a big part of my work with this organization is trying to create that kind of focal point.
Now I just set the hook. Communication, clarity, state. Which of these words does not belong?
Well, that's why we have this organization to help shore that up. You know, I talking to people, it's like we're really going to try to do some sense making.
Well, good. We'll talk about dollars and cents when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Chris Hartley. Chris, so you're going to the promised land, I guess, for all educators in California.
I don't know about
Sacramento.
That. Promised land, Sacramento, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's just where the action is.
Again, you know, these combinations of words that are now part of your life are just a little unsettling for a lot of us.
Those were your words.
How big is this? This board, this group, the steering committee, I don't know
that's a great question.
What the terminology is. Are you one of three or one of 35?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the things that attracted me to the group is relatively a small agency, so pretty nimble. We have about 25 employees that work in that entire organization, and folks are basically located throughout the state. The bulk of people are in Sacramento, but there's also several of us that are scattered around the
field agents,
kind of, you know, representing, you know, different areas. And I like that, really was attractive to me.
Do you get the opportunity? Are you the do it guy, or are you the guy who's saying, okay, in 5 years or in in 18 months.
It's really 18 months is more like it. It's like there's immediate work to get to roll on right now to get the structure a little bit more dialed in. And so I'm part of a team of about six or seven of us that represent different elements of the system of support. So, for instance, there's a special education expert on the team. There's early literacy experts on the team. There's folks that are do all their work around community engagement, connection to community. So we all have kind of a different
slant.
I'm going to be able to work with the team and kind of provide some direction and support for everybody, kind of coordinate it all.
Oh, are you like
yeah.
the manager of?
Yeah, the leader for the team.
Of yep. the team. Yeah.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting because these folks have kind of operated individually. So this will be the first time we're all coming together. So that'll be the first step, right?
The cat syndrome, huh?
Yeah, we're all coming together, you know, and we'll be able
Maybe I ought to get you a little catnip here before you leave.
No, sir, that's okay. That's okay. I don't want to.
At least you'll know how to herd them.
Yeah. No, it's a dynamic group of folks that I'm really looking forward to working with, you know. But
is the problem solvable? I mean, it's got to be tough because of even just basic jargon. It's going to be tough if you're not co-located, and you're dealing with internet or Zoom calls, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
You know, that has been such an interesting development. When you look at COVID, I don't think this opportunity would have been actualized pre-COVID. To be quite honest with you, we've moved our abilities to work through Zoom and through conference calls to a place that we're proficient at it, and it's effective. So obviously, you can't beat FaceTime. You can't beat, being with somebody and having that group conversation.
It'd be face-to-face time, not FaceTime on the
face-to-face, the real face-to-face, not that FaceTime.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. That it provides opportunities. There's opportunities now to work in this type of a process that really we didn't have those very much before. And so that's really exciting.
Do you think that there's going to be resistance to the effort? Or does everybody pretty much recognize that there's challenges and while you may want to turn left and I may want to turn right, at least we know we're headed in the same direction.
Yeah, there's definitely there's components of resistance, but I think primarily it's because there's kind of multiple agencies trying to do kind of the same type of work, and they kind of bump into each other. So there's a little bit of ego there, like, no, this is what we should be doing, then you should be doing that. So we have to work through those issues. And
now, are those the folks that are represented by your team members, or is that outside?
Great question. Different agencies. Yeah, different agencies. So
what a shocker that is.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you and I, we talk about that kind of bureaucracy frequently, you know, and how that can be inefficient. And
The power plays.
Just all the politics of it, right? Yeah. So I'm excited to start to work with those different teams and help, you know, like if you help the structure be successful, then everybody wins. And, that's an interesting opportunity. And we've done a lot of that work here locally, you know. So I think that was another, attractive thing for me, is to be able to come into something that's not hitting its mark perfectly. It's good. I mean, they're doing good work, no doubt about it. But to be able to kind of look at de-siloing some of those efforts is what a great opportunity.
So, well, and knowing that you've driven the bulldozer before.
Absolutely.
You know how to do it.
To the credit of many public agencies here in Humboldt County, you know, everybody's doing a better job working collaboratively than I've ever experienced before. And that's what's best for kids.
So as you look at this new project, you're one pod of this entire effort.
Yes.
What are some of the other areas? Because I would suspect that if you're going to be running into power plays outside and with the team members, now you're going to have three or four others that are also going to be doing similar types of things. Or does everybody have their own function? Your group has been charged with X, and that other group is with Y, and over there they're dealing with F.
Well, I think I have a pretty good sense of what the vision and the roles are for the different kind of groups that we're just kind of philosophically throwing out there, right? But there are areas of commonality that we have to be super mindful of and identify them and again, get to work.
Now, you said you were an appointee. Okay. So somebody found you.
Oh, yes.
And selected you. How far up the ladder before it becomes the gubernatorial appointee where things could change?
Yeah. So the way CC works, there's an executive director, and then that's the individual that's in charge of the organization, and then I'm going to be a deputy executive director. So I'll be working with a team of three folks like myself that will report to the executive director. So that's kind of the main leadership team.
So using an acronym, you're going to be DED.
D-E-D.
D-E-D.
No.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Chris Hartley, superintendent for 3 weeks? 2 weeks?
Through November 1st.
Oh, so you have the 1st?
Yes.
You just wanted to stay away from Halloween?
I just wanted to be in November.
Yeah.
Gotta catch one day of that month.
Yeah. Now, I can remember when Gary left.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the inertia was kind of going.
Yeah.
Are you using that kind of as a template for this time when you step aside before everything gets settled?
Yeah, so the county board met last week, and they discussed what processes they wanted to use to fill the position, and they've decided to open up for applicants. And I would imagine, I mean, anybody could apply, you know, throughout the country, I guess, but it's really primarily for local interest, I think, is where they're at. But anybody's welcome to throw their hat in the ring. So those applications are due here in the next couple of days, and then once they see the pool of applicants, they'll decide on how they want to conduct interviews. They'll select those that they would like to interview, and then we'll schedule that. We're looking at maybe the third week or towards the October 25th-ish, 26th-ish. They still have to pick that date, but they'll do interviews at that time and then go through the process of selecting a candidate. And what that position is, it's considered an appointed interim. For my position.
Well, that's kind of a definitional. That makes sense.
Yeah. And then the election for this office comes up in June of the upcoming year.
Not March?
June of the upcoming year.
There won't be a preliminary?
No. They do the election will be in June. The term actually ends January 23. So the election will be June of 22. And then the term for whoever's appointed, you know, depending what happens in the election, goes to 23, January 23.
Or if it happens to be whoever's the appointed.
That's right.
So how do you, you're there, so whoever they appoint then is, you meet them there on the 1st and hand them the keys?
Well, I'm here locally, so of course I'm committed to a good transition plan.
Okay, you don't get the fancy car anymore.
Yeah,
starting on the 2nd, right?
They can have it today.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, so that transition formally happens on November 1st. But, you know, I was given the gift of having a nice transition time with Dr. Eagles, and I want to be sure I'm providing the same seamless work. Thing is, HCOE is super strong. Our leadership team is rock solid right now. It'll be a pretty darn seamless transition. But again, you know, I'm here to provide any support, whatever the individual wants, right?
But if one of those seniors is selected...
Yeah, then you get a little bit
now
of a domino.
Now there's a hole.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I guess is the first opportunity to put a stamp on.
Yeah, right. That individual gets to start making some of those decisions for the organization. So, and you know, the thing is, Brian, I can't say enough about HCOE and the team of folks. It was really difficult to make a career change, having built the relationships that we have, and I'm just really proud of the work of everybody. And that's always the hardest part for me. You know, is leaving that behind. But good news is I'll be here locally. I'm not going to be a stranger to the education scene here. In fact, I want to connect into it in different ways.
Well, you're announcing you're going to run for the board now?
No, sir. No, sir. No, that's okay. We got great board members.
Oh, no.
Backpedal. No, yeah, yeah. Nothing like that.
But, get away from that flame.
Yeah, but, you know, just working with the group of people that we have, they're just really pouring their hearts out to serve the community on a daily basis. And we've got some really interesting things going on right now, if I could touch upon a couple of those. HCOE's got our, it's called the HEART program. You love acronyms. But we found that districts are having to do so many different duties that are unconventional with regards to COVID that the workforce is stretched very thin. And so what we've been able to do is create a team. It's called a Healthy Alert Response Team that comes out of HCOE. So if you're a district and you need some additional assistance or you need to talk to a nurse or you have questions with regards to protocol, you can access some of that advice and some of that assistance through this team.
So all medical related?
Medical related, related to COVID. But also what we've done is we had a couple of folks. I want to give a shout out to Barb McMahon and Loretta Eckenrode, retired educators, who I approached and said, would they mind thinking of retired educators in the community that might want to help out at schools?
So kind of like an RSVP.
Yeah.
You cannot leave.
Well,
the Hotel California whipped into that one too.
No,
huh?
It's nothing like that. But a cohort of retired educators that could be used at schools to do a variety of functions. Because what's really happening is, you know, you have a contact tracing situation. Now you have to do mandated quarantines for staff, and you're shorthanded. We're shorthanded just about every day somewhere. And so you might need somebody that comes in and is a substitute in a class. You might need some support just manning the phones, running the front office. You might need somebody that is trained and can do actual contact tracing at a school site, or even doing COVID testing. And so this cohort.
So kind of like a strike team.
Yeah, that's a great word for it. That's a great word for it.
It doesn't fit in there, though.
Well, it's HEART. Strike and HEART don't go together,
hearts.
Brian. Hearts. But it was really interesting and really exciting to see that we have a lot of retired educators that are actually willing to help out. And so we're assembling that process right now.
I would think.
And that's really neat, right? They know the lay of the land.
Yeah. And if
they know what a school is.
If you had that calling.
Yeah.
You know, you still want to kind of tap in every once in a while and just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that's just that sense of community we have here in Humboldt County that just makes you super proud to be a part of it. And so we're working on mobilizing that strike team, I'll use your term. And I would hope in the next couple of weeks that can get going.
Well, to me, it implies the flexibility.
100%.
You know,
right.
So it's not just in the classroom kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's whatever is needed.
But that's the kind of creativity that, you know, I think makes our county stand out.
Is it that unique? I mean, everybody talks about Humboldt County being this and Humboldt County being that. And it's like, for most of us, it's like, you know, well, yeah, that's normal. That's regular.
That's right.
How else would you approach it?
Right.
But I keep hearing from you and from others that isn't normal. You know, that there are these walls and fences that are put up and moats that are dug. And I would suspect that some of that is transferable to what you're moving off into also is that spirit.
That's the point. And that's the point. That's what gets, you know, I mean, it's exciting about the type of work that we do. When you can collaborate with other people and, you know, be innovative and creative and not look at the obstacles, but just look at what's possible first and have that kind of positive mindset, that's when really good work happens. And I'm excited at the state level to bring a rural perspective. To be honest with you, I do think that's a trait of rural communities in general, you know, coming together to solve problems in creative ways. And, you know, there's like a reciprocity there and a willingness to give that is super. We're really fortunate to have that.
So does it not exist in the metropolitan areas, or do you think it's just not been tapped into?
I don't know. Honestly, I haven't been a metropolitan kind of guy much. So, you know, but I think the complexity, like it's easier to mobilize in smaller communities probably than it is in larger communities, just the sheer nature of the size.
Sure, because everybody knows everybody. You know,
right.
Two phone calls and everybody knows.
Our networks here are pretty tight, right? You can make a couple calls and canvass the whole darn county pretty quickly, whereas doing that in, you know, Sacramento, it's probably a whole different story.
Well, and if folks are living in Woodland and down in Stockton and all over the place and then come in for work and then go back out.
Yeah, that community connection is different.
It just isn't there, yeah.
Right.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Mr. Hartley from Humboldt County Office of Ed. Terry McAuliffe running for governor again in Virginia has made a couple of interesting comments. When you see the educational system, and then you have, obviously you've got three constituencies, about four, kids, okay,
yep.
Staff,
sure,
okay, funding sources, and parents, or community. How do you balance those equations out? You know, you know what's being taught in schools because you are one right now, versus me who's, our kids have been out, what, once in 10, 12, 15 years out of high school?
Mm-hmm.
So much has changed.
Oh, a whole different world.
Not even the last year and a half, but prior to that.
For sure.
I would suggest that the level of ignorance of most of us about the day-to-day activities.
Just daily operations.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Possibly.
What do you see is some of those challenges with those four entities kind of all at work, maybe coordinated periodically, maybe at odds periodically?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it evolves. I mean, first of all, those partnerships are critical, that everybody has that, you know, an equal level of involvement and has a place to be a part of the process and can access the schools, right? And that it's not just shifted to, well, this is the group that has to, you know, it's this group's responsibility. It's a shared responsibility. These are parents' children, right? And that's what you get into parenting for. And so schools need to be super mindful about creating pathways for involvement.
And
for
yet,
all
you've
those
got
groups
a
you just mentioned.
You've got a lot of parents then that basically check out and they're not there. And they, okay, breakfast is at school. Okay, lunch is at school. Okay, afternoon babysitting's at school. And they abdicate. That's another fancy word for today.
Wow, that's a big
yeah,
one.
I know. That's right up there with collaborate, isn't it? abdicate their responsibilities and say, okay, I don't want to.
Yeah, in my experience, that's still pretty much the minority situation. You know, I think it also evolves over the grade levels. So speaking just as a parent, when my daughters were younger, it was a lot easier. We were super involved on the school site with volunteer activities and assisting in the classrooms. And as your kids tend to get older, it's not exactly super cool to see dad in your high school classroom, right? So that there's just the evolution of time and maturity of kids that there's a push-pull factor in involvement
Oh, sure.
And parent involvement.
Sure, it
so
evolves.
There's that, right? But then there's also, like, how are the schools providing structured opportunities for that involvement? And if or if they're not, right?
Or embracing the parents.
Absolutely.
Rather than
absolutely.
Lip service. Yeah, okay, you can come mm-hmm. by in the classroom anytime you want.
Right. And so.
Uh-huh. Again, and then you show up and you're a pariah.
Yeah, so if you're gonna make that an authentic opportunity for parents, then it needs to be a genuine and authentic opportunity, and partnership is irreplaceable.
Are parent teacher conferences are better attended now than what they were 10 years ago?
I don't really know, to be honest with you. I know that there's shifts in how those conferences are performed to be more student based, which I really like. So less of the teacher driving the conversation, more involving the students to have that conversation with the
team.
Oh,
really?
Pretty cool, yeah.
So it's not here's what Johnny
not always.
Has done, right. But it's Johnny saying, here's what I've done.
Here's what I've done, right? So a little bit more ownership. I've really enjoyed seeing that.
Oh, that's
that
interesting.
Shift. Yeah, and I had a chance to do that as a dad a couple times with my girls, and it was really fun for their development to be able to articulate, you know, what's working well for them.
And the
not.
Teacher giving...
Yeah, the prompts and the...
and support that, yes, indeed, this did happen.
Let me tell you how good I am today, Dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's check that. We need a fact checker in here.
Yeah. Well, cool stuff. I'm sure that we'll still keep crossing
absolutely.
Paths. So
yeah, I've always enjoyed
congratulations, and we'll keep moving on.
I'll be here.
All righty.
Take care.
See everybody tomorrow.
Thank you.